B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate
it. Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You want to go full Suck at Felger Friday?
I need some music for that, right?
Like, if you want.
Yeah.
What kind of music?
The Free Friday. Like, how do you, I don't know, how do you start the show? Like something, one of those weird, don't they play a Pearl Jam
song, typically.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of started with that and then roll, but I kind of like
it. Oh, we need an opening thought.
Oh, hold on, let me get set up here.
It's Friday.
I'm wiping down. You want to go first or should I?
I'll go first.
Good, and you?
You want me to go?
Yeah, let's get past the pleasantries.
Who wants to go first?
Jimmy, go ahead, release the hounds. I'm all set up.
Your phone lines are open.
I'm wiped
down.
That Rich shirt leave, he's a disgusting human being.
617-779-0985.
Like animals in here.
Call early, call often today on this Friday.
Yep.
We'll leave it open to you.
Sleeves, how you doing? Coffee boy? Coffee house kid?
Coffee house kid. Here's my opening thought, so.
Here we go. You know the drill. 1 hour to go until the start of Memorial Day weekend. Many of you have already started it, I'm sure. But nonetheless, we here on the Felger and Mazz program have another hour to go. We'll take you right up until 6 o'clock. Felger is out today. Jim Murray is alongside. Joe Murray here to give us headlines. And unless either of you two nitwits have something to add, we will jump right back to the phone lines. Is it, you ready to go?
I think I just add one thing.
Go, Joe. John, by all means, go.
Yeah, John Clayton out in Seattle. He's with ESPN for years. Saying that Russell Wilson is trying to recruit free agent Antonio Brown to play for Seattle. I think that would be very interesting for the Seahawks. I think he'd fit with Pete Carroll. I think he'd let him be able to do his thing. And they need that type of receiver. They tried last year with Josh Gordon. Doug Baldwin, obviously, you know, has moved on. So, you know, I think that could be a huge move for Russell Wilson. And who knows what happens with him. I think he's still on the exempt list at the moment. But if he could be available and play for that franchise, he'd be a fit with Pete Carroll. He could probably do whatever he want, and I bet you he'd shine there. And it'd be someone that Tom Brady couldn't get in the long run, and Russell Wilson could.
Jim Murray, just quickly, how do you feel about the idea of Antonio Brown in Seattle? Because I know you're not a huge Brown guy.
I am not, but there's still talent there, and he would be a beast in that team. Like, he would be a big help for them. Because
I mean, isn't that one of the places that feels perfect for him?
Yeah, I mean, because
Pete does sort of like the Renegades.
He does.
There's a certain measure of lawlessness that the Seahawks will put up with, just like the Ravens, maybe, or organizations like that that are willing to take in guys who are troubled on a short-term basis. And Seattle feels perfect to me.
Yeah, and just one thing I saw pop up that was also NFL-related I thought was kind of interesting. So, obviously, you know, we have months to go until the fall, and then the NFL hopefully starts up on time. But even if they allow fans back, kind of a precedent was set today with the Pittsburgh Steelers in that even if fans do come back, there will be absolutely less people in the stadium. So their director of team communications said today that only 50% of individual 2020 Steelers games tickets will be sold to the public because of social distancing guidelines. So nothing on season tickets yet, but you know, a lot of people still, even here, line up to buy and try to get single game tickets, but it's going to be, you know, even if the Patriots do it this way, it's going to be cut in half. So on the one end, it'd be good if we get some fans in the stadiums, but it's absolutely going to be less.
So interesting story, too, with Antonio Brown there, for sure. I mean, given what happened here, given the polarizing nature of the player, how much of a dink he is, Seattle, to me, feels like a good fit. So largely caller-driven here in the final hour, 617-779-0985. Our buddy Tom is in Quincy. Tom, what do you got?
What's up, guys? Hey, this whole Joe Flacco signing of is the whole reason why the Jets will always suck, okay? Because, listen, they got, like, one of the best young defensive players in the entire league that they're kind of stringing along because he wants more money with Jamal Adams. How do you think he feels about this? That you're possibly going to shell out $4.5 million to Flacco, who possibly is one hit away from never walking again. Because if I'm correct, I think he has the same neck injury that Darryl Moose Johnson had and that James Deflin just retired from. So this is supposed to be the year where the pass is supposed to blow and the rest of the AFC East is supposed to make moves to make themselves better. And in the meantime, they signed Joe Flacco. Cam Newton still doesn't have a job. and you have the best young safety in the league waiting for a contract extension. That team will never change. They will suck forever.
I didn't even think about it. It was a great call. You know, I didn't even think about it from the Jamal Adams aspect.
Me neither.
He's right. Like, he's the best safety in the league, I think. Not second, not third. Mm-hmm. Like, hands down, Jamal Adams is the best safety in the league. There's a contract squabble there, and they go spend money on Joe Flacco. I only looked at it from the Newton angle. We were talking about it when Gasper was here. If you're Cam Newton, you have to look at this and be like, wait a minute, I don't have a neck injury. I know I have some injury concerns, but it's a shoulder and a foot, not a neck. I should have a job before him. But the Adams thing, if you're Jamal Adams, I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Trade me.
Hey, listen, it's $1.5 million. The real thing here is Joe Douglas, the GM there, drafted Flacco years ago. Reunite him. And the other thing is Sam Darnold's never had a true veteran. Maybe McCown for a period of time there, but he's never had a Super Bowl winning caliber quarterback in that room. Let's not forget they just drafted James Morgan as well. So maybe you put a veteran in there. Maybe Flacco doesn't even play this year, but to get another veteran in there who played in a Super Bowl and in the playoffs, maybe it's something that they need.
I'll tell you what, in terms of influence over the player, I think I'd rather have McCown. I'm not kidding. I think McCown is a serviceable, knowledgeable guy who's been a good backup over his career. I'd rather have him than Flacco. Kyle's in as a backup now. Kyle's in Charlton. Kyle, what do you got?
I know you're against it. I'll move quick. Maz, you're a hypocrite. You just sat here while Gasper said Brady starting an era of championships, and word for word, you said it was more Bill Belichick than Brady. Granted, you might have been talking about 2001 specifically, but 9 Super Bowl appearances later, you can sit here and tell us the team's been mismanaged. Since your precious Jimmy Garoppolo has departed from this organization, we've won 2 Super Bowls. All the leadership remains on the roster and under control for at least the next 2 years, and we have $98.6 million in cap room next year. With all that said, we're still going to contend, if not win the AFC title this year, during a theoretical throwaway year. Now, come on and tell me how this team's been mismanaged.
Okay, so again, how does that make me a hypocrite?
You're a hypocrite because you're telling us that the team's been mismanaged, but you're also giving credit to Bill Belichick over Tom Brady for creating this entire dynasty, in a sense.
No, so Kyle, what I said was 2001 was more about Bill Belichick than it was Tom Brady. That's what I said. If you have ever listened to the program, you'll know that I have said that over the course of time here, if you tell me who's more responsible, the quarterback or the coach, I will tell you the quarterback. I think it tips in his direction. I've always said that. Again, Murray knows because he hears me every day and probably gets ready to blow his brains out sometimes because of the same crap I say over and over again, like Jimmy Garoppolo, which Murray knows. But we don't have to relive that one. Sean's in Lawrence. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, what's up, guys? I was hoping to go with Gasper a little bit because of the way that Maz, you took or you went after him with the...
Yeah, well, go ahead, Sean. Say it anyway.
Okay, all right. So... I'm as much of a Brady honk as you can get, but, you know, I don't get how Brady winning in 2001. I mean, the Bruins won their cup mainly because Horton got his bell rung and the team rallied around him. And in 2013, it was Bergeron with the big comeback to get them to that run. I don't understand how Brady made Ortiz become the best clutch hitter of all time or brought Pedro in before Brady even got here. So I just don't get that analogy at all, because I think that, I mean, was Pedro tossing 99 miles an hour because, you know, Brady was winning championships, or was it because Pedro wanted to be the best pitcher in the world?
I tend to agree with you, and forgive me, sorry, I just let you go. I tend to agree with you. Now you want to tell me that Tom Brady changed the way the fan base thinks here, or that, and again, I still give 2001 more credit to Belichick than I do to Brady for winning that championship. I'm not telling you that Brady wasn't important. He was. But that year was about Belichick, if you ask me. If you ask me, that year was about Belichick. Now, again, how did it impact the other organizations? Did the Patriots set some sort of standard there at the beginning? Sure, maybe. Is that what led to the other championships? No. Let's not confuse the two. It makes for a nice storyline in retrospect. The Patriots elevated some sort of standard or set some sort of standard. And I will go so far as to tell you that Adam Vinatieri's kick to win that Super Bowl, in the sports sense, was our shot heard around the world. That's the one that started it all. But it doesn't mean it caused the other things. It started it all. And then here we are 20 years later with 12 championships, 18 trips to the finals, something like 28 trips the last time I counted to the league semifinals, whether that's a conference championship or the American League championship or whatever. And so it's nice to put all that in a package and say it all began here and he was the reason. Not exactly. It doesn't work that way. Okay, it doesn't work that way. Murray, you have anything you want to add, Jim Murray?
Yeah, Brady planted the seed and the tree grew from there. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so there you go. That's a poetic way of saying it, Murray. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your calls when we come back. We'll update you on the latest with the NBA and the NHL and their plans to return and tell you whether or not we have any more information on the players, NHL players voting on the proposal by the NHL that we've discussed earlier in the week that we'll go over again. And again, as I said, continue with your phone calls when we come back.
Dugger Fest.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Mike Felger, Tony Maserati, making your afternoon commute better.
Throw some, Felger. How about a mea culpa? You are wrong. Running backs do matter.
Or worse.
I wouldn't pay him.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
If they do come back and play, what will they do? What conversations are they having about what the rest of the season and the playoffs might look like?
Well, that's a conversation ongoing between the league office and the Players Association about what's the format going to be. Regular season games. Are they going to bring all 30 teams back? Are they going to have a play-in tournament for the final couple seeds in the Eastern and Western Conference? All of that's got to be collectively bargained between the players and the league. Adam Silver wants to have seven-game series in the playoffs. He doesn't want to have shortened series early on. He wants to try to legitimize the champion as much as he can. I think the biggest conversation going on among players and teams are how many teams are going to have an opportunity to jump into the playoffs, into those 16 teams. What would a potential play-in tournament look like? Because Greeny, they've got to incentivize teams to come back to play their key players, to be motivated and to get fans' interest in this. And that could be at the cost of teams like Memphis and Dallas and Orlando, you know, 7-8 seeds, you know, who have, you know, have a pretty good distance between them and the rest of 9-10 and on in the conference seedings. And they've outplayed those teams significantly, but might have to still play more to get into the postseason.
And that's Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN within the last day or so, talking about the plan for the NBA to return and what the format will look like when the players and teams do return. And I'll just say quickly, too, if you're on the line waiting to get on, just sit tight for a second. I just want to go over this and update people on the latest. The NBA and the NHL proposals ultimately feel pretty similar. And while we spend a lot of time on the NHL, which, again, I'll get to in a moment, the NBA scenario you heard Adrian Wojnarowski describe there, that, for example, Dallas is the number seven team in the Western Conference standings. They're in seventh place. They're in. Okay, Oklahoma City, oddly enough, is fifth. They have the same number of wins as Dallas, although fewer losses. Nonetheless, all those teams, 40 wins. But Dallas and Memphis still may have to play a play-in against Portland and New Orleans, who have 28 and 29 wins, and ultimately lose a spot in the playoffs to teams that they have outdistanced easily in the regular season thus far and normally wouldn't even have to consider. So is that unfair to a team like Dallas? Yes, absolutely. But that's where we are in the wake of this pandemic. The league wants Zion Williamson in. Right now the Pelicans are the 10th seed in the West. By having these play-in rounds, certainly it gives Zion a chance to get into the playoffs. On the hockey side of it, and I want to mention this because NHL player reps are voting as we speak. They might be close to wrapping up. In fact, they started this process last night. The 31 team reps began voting on what was a similar proposal from the NHL. that would involve a play-in round. And Bob McKenzie of TSN tweeted just a few minutes ago, maybe 10 minutes ago now. And McKenzie has been issuing this message really consistently, but said, while last night's executive committee conference call got a little heated at times, and various individual players still have a wide variety of views on the NHL's proposed format, the executive committee vote by teams is expected to result in the union's approval of the NHL plan. So again, we should know the final vote sometime tonight, and maybe even before we get off the air, although unclear at the moment. Just quickly, Joe Murray, any update there?
Nothing yet. Like you said, Bob McKenzie just tweeted out, but yeah, they're voting now, underway. Maybe we'll get something the next half hour or so.
Okay. And then McKenzie concluded, if it is indeed the case that the players vote to approve the NHL's plan to return, the return to play plan, and he believes, McKenzie does, forgive me there, that the balloting has concluded or will conclude shortly, it should pave the way, McKenzie writes, for the NHL and NHLPA to perhaps formally announce the return to play format in the coming days. And so what we're expecting in the NHL as well is a structure in which the top seeds, in this case, the Bruins in the East, the Bruins, the Lightning, the Capitals, and the Flyers will all get a bye in the first round of the playoffs. They will play one another in what effectively amounts to quote-unquote regular season games. And the play-in series will meanwhile take place between Pittsburgh and Montreal, Carolina and the Rangers, the Islanders and the Panthers, and the Leafs and the Jackets. And the important part of this story, if you are a Bruins fan, is that if the Bruins finish with one of the top two seeds, which they almost certainly will, and if the games don't affect the seeding at all, then they'll be number one. If the Bruins finish first, they will play Columbus or Toronto in the first round. If they finish second, they would play either the Islanders or the Panthers. Under neither of those scenarios would they face the Montreal Canadiens, who would be lucky to get their asses into the playoffs given the kind of year that they have. So I just wanted to update you on that. We'll get back to your calls. And Chris is in Worcester on the golf match that will take place this weekend. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Tony. And I know you didn't want to talk about it because you said you'll watch it for about 5 seconds unless he wears the red shirt. But you guys will discuss on Tuesday. That's my first comment, right? You will discuss, I assume, right?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it depends, Chris. I wouldn't hold your breath on it, but go ahead.
All right. And then as I was sitting on hold, branding, if you don't mind me asking this, because it might be apples and oranges, bigger brand, Tiger Woods or Michael Jordan?
Jordan.
Just wondering.
Okay, so again, I'm with Murray on this. I let you go, Chris. We talked about this earlier in the show, and the reason why we got on this topic is that if we're talking about off the field, the magnitude of the brand, Jordan blows Tom Brady out of the water. Jordan blows everybody out of the water. The only people I would ever put in the same breath or in the same conversation are Tiger Woods and Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali is sort of a different thing. You know, it wasn't like he was selling boxing gloves, but just the magnitude of the persona and the influence of the heavyweight champion was so great for so many years. And Ali in particular, for lots of reasons, was just an international force. But Murray, other than those two, anyone else belong in the conversation?
Not that I can think of. Joe mentioned Babe Ruth earlier, but that's going way, way back. And it's not like you had the kind of media landscape that we have nowadays, not even from 40 years ago. So that's it. I really can't think of anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's really, and if you wanted to talk about just corporate branding, the ability to sell, to me, it's Jordan and Tiger. Yeah. I mean, those two.
I mean, there's guys that have
Ali, go ahead.
There's guys that have had blips, you know, the Rodman, Allen Iverson, hell, even Michael Vick for a minute, but that was, you know, those were kind of flashes. That's it. Nothing that is sustainable and, you know, has the worldwide recognition of the ones that you've mentioned.
David is in New Bedford. Quickly, David, go.
Yes, I was wondering what your thoughts are on the Patriots' new signing of that fullback, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Okay, Murray, I'm not sure who he's talking about in particular. I'm guessing it's Vitale.
Yeah, Dan Vitale, and to this one, I will defer to Joe Murray.
Yeah, played a little fullback last year, can catch out of the backfield, but I think he'll make the team, and he'll lead the way for Sony Michel this year.
Okay, so look, again, Devlin out, Vitale in. You know, I don't think the fullback is as big a deal as a lot of people do. We had so many people called telling us that James Devlin was a critical loss for the Patriots offensive line. If that's the case, that your fullback is a critical loss, you suck. That's just my two cents. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with your phone calls right after Joe Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You can listen to Felger and Mass on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jared Dudley was on a podcast, and he had these thoughts on what it'll look like if they're able to come back and play.
I think that people are getting a misconception. If not, it's going to be a bubble in a sense of, hey, here's going to be your hotel where you stay at. Here's going to be the gym where you're playing at. But you will be allowed to leave. Michelle Roberts have said it, and even Adam Silver on the conference call. Now, just because you leave, you know, like, if we're going to give you that leeway, if you come back with corona, you can't play. So we're going to be tested all the time. And so it would be smart of teams. So like Braun, AD, and all the top guys that we have, we'll be wrapping them in bubble and not letting them go anywhere. Let's just be honest. They can't leave. And so and you would want that to be a team rule.
So that's Jared Dudley of the Los Angeles Lakers, 13-year NBA veteran, talking about the realities of life in the quote-unquote bubble for an athlete when they return. And at least in the NBA, he says you'll be able to leave. But if you get sick and you can't play, it's on you. It's on you. And so I actually kind of, the more I think about this, the more I like it, that teammates put pressure on teammates to stay healthy. Nope, you've got to take care of yourself. You've got to be smart, not just because you might get us sick, but because it might affect our chances to win. And the more I think about this, Murray, the more I really like it. To me, I sort of thought there's no way players are going to be able to discipline themselves. But those that are coming back now are going to be teams that are in the playoffs effectively or in the play-in round. They will have something at stake. And to me, that means that any sort of reckless type of behavior could really affect lots of them in terms of where they finish in the standings and, dare I say, playoff shares and things like that. I mean, I'm warming up to this idea.
Yeah, it's about personal accountability. I do wonder if it could be potentially problematic, though, too. So say a guy goes out, whether that's to get, you know, road beef or whatever. He just leaves and one of his teammates sees him. And he goes and tells management, GM, whoever, does that teammate who left now look at that other teammate as a rat, yeah. You know?
And do they see and then don't say anything, Joe? What do they do there?
Yeah. So that also goes down to the individual. I know for me, like, again, like, if I saw that, I wouldn't say anything. But if someone did, I get it.
And I didn't mention this yesterday. I really wanted to. But, you know, the Jordan documentary and the pizza thing. If people know that basketball players are staying there, will they get pizza delivered there, knowing possible outcomes on there? So just wanted to throw that out there as well.
Well, so I tell you, I wonder, you know, again, Jared Dudley says, you want to leave, you can leave. No problem. Just don't get sick. Don't get sick. So I don't know if guys will rat each other out, but I think that they will put pressure on one another to do everything they can to stay healthy. And to me, that teammate-on-teammate pressure and accountability, always a good thing. I mean, almost always. I suppose I'd have to think of scenarios that weren't. Before we get back to the phones, I just want to ask you guys one quick question. We've been discussing today, or at least part of the thing we've been discussing today on Agenda Free Friday, is the phenomenon that has come with superstar athletes. And again, what triggered the thought in my mind this morning was the idea of who was bigger, Jordan or Brady. And in the arena, on the field, they're pretty comparable. You know, same number of championships, Brady 9 Super Bowls. You want to tell me Tom Brady is the Michael Jordan of the NFL? Absolutely. No two ways about it. Off the field, again, the phenomenon, Air Jordan versus TB12. Jordan blows almost everybody out of the water. And it's not just the branding. It's, again, the magnitude of the persona. Tiger Woods certainly in the discussion, I think, with Jordan or part of the conversation. I mentioned Muhammad Ali. It was different. It wasn't corporate per se. But Ali had unbelievable magnetism and appeal across the globe. It was just an icon internationally. An emailer or listener to the program texted in another name that I want to add to the conversation that I actually think is a pretty good one. I want to see if you guys got a similar email or if you can come up with it here in the next little bit without cheating. Greg is in Douglas. Greg, go.
Hey, Tony, love the show. I just have to say, of all the Super Bowl years, 2001 was Tom was the most responsible for that one. Up to that point, Bill was 5-13 on his way to getting a bus ticket out of town, and the only difference was Tom. There's no way they would have won the Super Bowl that year or any other year after that without Tom Brady. He energized that team. He lifted everyone up. You could see it by watching the team on the field. Everyone just played at a higher level, and his leadership mattered. Bill would have, been struggling to get to 8-8 at that point. So,
Greg, it's a fair point. It's a fair point. In 2001, the quarterback changed everything that year. I get it. I think that's as much an indictment on Bledsoe as it is anything else. What Brady did that year was good. I'm not saying he wasn't good. I just think that it was largely mistake free. Tom Brady was the MVP of the Super Bowl. You know how many yards he passed for in that game?
It was like 220 or something like that.
145.
Oh, okay.
He completed 59% of his passes. So the championship, the Super Bowl game, to me, was about Belichick. Now, you want to say that the turnaround was about Brady? Sure. But the championship, to me, that year, was about Belichick. One of the all-time great coaching seasons of all time in any sport, if you ask me. Miles is in Marlboro. Go ahead, Miles.
Hey, Tony, real quick. Yeah, you just kind of changed my mind on something, though. When you're talking about Brady and Jordan, the one reason I would give Jordan the bigger, notoriety is basketball is more of an international sport. If you remember the Dream Team stuff, when Jordan was over there, he was like a celebrity. People were coming from all over the place to see him. I think if Brady had the same thing going, I don't think that would happen to him.
So the sport's part of it, Miles. I agree. I think basketball is more of an international game. It's not anything that a Brady can necessarily compete with. And look, there's no shame in that. I'm just telling you that. I heard them discussing it this morning, and it occurred to me that as much as we compare Brady to Jordan, and we do that as an athlete, as a winner, all those legit. Off the field, off the court, not even close. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been anybody like Jordan who is still making in excess of $100 million a year from the Air Jordan brand, the sneakers. And for that matter, the apparel, the clothing line, all of that. This ought to be good. Our buddy Albert in Rhode Island. Get Albert.
How's it going, guys? Obviously, off the court, Tony, you're right. It's not even a conversation. I mean, we'll entertain the conversation of it on the field, but it's really not even close. Basketball is an individual sport. There are intelligent sports people in the world that don't even think Tom Brady's the most responsible part of the successful journey. They think it's the coach. Would anybody say that about Jordan? No one.
No.
Over the age of 12 questions Jordan's the best. There are smart football people that know Tom Brady is not the best quarterback of all time. He's the most successful quarterback of all time. Two different sports, not even close. Football's not individualistic. Basketball's individualistic. It's not even close.
Okay, so they're different, Albert. What quarterback would you take over Brady?
Peyton Manning, John Elway, Dan Marino, far better players. If they play under Bill Belichick, Tony, goes back to the whole thing with the coach. Basketball's about the player. Football's about the coach. You're going to see that with Stidham, just like you saw it with Castle and Garoppolo. I'm not going to go down that road. Football is not about any individual player. If it weren't Brady, it would have been Elway. If it was Marino, it was Peyton, it was Rodgers. It's always Brady's just the most successful. He's not the best. Jordan is a god. God, listen, I'm a Catholic.
Forgive me. So Albert, I let him go. I was going to say the idea that this is part of the reason I think we're all fascinated about this season. What if Brady does well and wins, and Belichick loses? Can we say definitively it's about the coach?
No.
I mean, we all know the coach is important. But, and no, the marriage is the ultimate...
There's a clutch factor thing that comes in. I mean, it's like Peyton Manning didn't have that.
Absolutely, Murray.
And I just want to bring one thing about Jordan. Jordan was great, but he needed Phil Jackson. I mean, he did. At some point, they were the ones who won together. He never won without him.
I mean, I think the coach is less important in basketball, Joe.
It is. So, you're right. They, like who won last year, right? The Toronto, do we even know, remember the Toronto coach's name?
Nick Nurse.
No. There you go. You know what I'm saying?
Totally. So I want to get back to you guys on the question I asked you a second ago, but let me take one more call. Scott's in Hanson. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, Maz, I was just, what I called about, but the first thing, I just want to comment on Greg's comment about Brady being the man in 01. No way. I totally agree with you, Maz, what you said earlier. It was the defense, and it was the kicking game with Vinatieri. Definitely. He throws for 145. Come on. He just dinks and dunks. That's all he did down the field. He didn't do anything special. He did nothing special during 01. He is a great player. I totally agree. He's a great player. But the reason why I called Maz is, what do you think about with the comparison? I know Jordan's great outside of basketball. He makes millions. What about George Foreman? Has anybody talked about him or anything? Today?
No. He's not even not even worth the time. I mean, again, and when I say, look, Foreman was, you know, entertaining, and I think, did he actually hold the heavyweight championship for a time when he got older?
Yeah, when he was.
He must have, right?
Yep. Beat
Michael. But as a younger fighter, he was supposed to be Tyson before Tyson, and he ended up being a huge bust. Quickly, Billy in a car. Billy, go.
Hey, guys. So, good. First of all, thank you guys for everything you've been doing. I know it's almost impossible to come up with new things to talk about every day, and you guys are amazing. Just want you to know that.
Well, thank you.
But the biggest thing, I've been listening to you guys, if not for the injury, the beginning, the middle, and end of this talk is Bo Jackson.
Billy, I'm going to stop you just because we're tight on time. Bo Jackson's a good name to bring up.
He's one of the great what-ifs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
in sports history.
But he's another one that had tremendous marketing appeal. Like, there was a, you know, the Bo Nose thing. Like, there was a huge Bo factor. He's a good one. He didn't do it long enough, but he's a good one. So let me ask you this question. I told you an emailer sent this in. And this is a little before my time, Joe and Jim, which means it's a little before your time. Okay? But when we talk about athletes who have unforgettable brands attached with them, And look, you know, dare I say, O.J. Simpson and Hurts, okay? Like, stuff like that is what I'm talking about. Jim Murray, if I were to say to you that on a hot summer day, I wanted a drink with ice and half lemonade, half iced tea, what do you call it?
Oh, an Arnold Palmer.
Okay, there you go. Arnold Palmer, after his death, was still earning something in the neighborhood of like $40 million a year. And he was one of these guys that he didn't win like Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus, but Palmer was, in terms of, a phenomenon, which is the word that I keep coming back to. Palmer was a force. And Arnie's Army, again, Arnold Palmer, golf courses. In fact, isn't the Arizona Beverage Company, which is that Arizona Iced Tea?
Yeah.
I think that's owned by Arnold Palmer.
Had his own Sega Genesis game back in the day, yeah.
The Golf Channel, Arnold Palmer. And so if we want to talk, and again, he had, because of the nature of the sport, he had an international magnetism and appeal. It was a different time, but Palmer is a good one. And we had a listener who sent that in. I just wanted to add that to the conversation.
Yeah, a few people have tweeted at me, too, trying to make a case for Wayne Gretzky. And that's, I just think, as much as I like hockey, it's too much of a niche sport. Like, in Canada, worldwide.
I'll give you one that's up and coming, Conor McGregor. He's doing a lot when it comes to whiskey and other stuff. It's not on the same platform, but he could be getting there.
I mean, some of these guys just really, again, Arnold Palmer, and I read a story, he died a few years back. Shortly after his death, he was still earning $40 million a year. Think about that. Incredible. Agenda Free Friday. Final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deals on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nope.
So I believe we have the Fuppets today.
We do.
So we'll be ending it on that note, and I believe it's a Big Jim Murray related Fuppets here on the final.
So Murray, Jim Murray, you want to explain to people exactly what it is?
Yeah, this was last week. Felger happened to hear a noise because I was still broadcasting from home at the time. That the microphone happened to pick up. It wasn't my cats. It actually was the sound of children gleefully playing outside. So then this ended up taking place.
Might as well have been cats.
Murray, am I hearing your cats again?
No, those are the children outside.
So I was going to say, there's either kids or cats squawking in the background.
Oh, yeah. Now, what's the difference?
Are the kids afraid of you, Murray?
I've had to scream at those children.
How old are the kids, Murray?
They're between like 6 and 10.
Oh, Jesus, Murray. You're MFing the 6-year-olds?
Yeah. It's bad enough I have to hear the birds chirping to wake me up, try to wake me up at 6 when I'm trying to sleep till noon. Enough to make me want to just, you know, off myself.
See, most people, like birds singing and children playing, are happy. Like, that's a good thing to wake up to. Not
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, I can do without the birds.
Murray.
Especially, have you ever had a woodpecker on your house?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap, that's like the worst thing ever.
So, Maz, how do you get rid of
the woodpecker hammering in the side of the house when I'm trying to get a couple of Z's?
How do you get the woodpecker out?
You got to hang, hold on. My wife's got the answer. Hold on. Shiny stuff from the windows. Something that would look like tinsel, but you hang it on the windows, and it does. It scares away the woodpeckers because something about the reflection freaks them out.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.